This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, brackets are out, and Gators is done. 7 minutes, start to finish. Gator walked in, sat down. My back is, I can't, you know, we don't face each, our computers don't face each other. My back is to you, but all I heard, I wonder if this can go over the air, was, it's not going to go over there. It's click, click. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, what is he doing? And I turn around and look, and I realize you're blowing through a bracket. You are 7 minutes start to finish.
No need to dilly.
You did not dilly.
Or dally.
No dillying over there. Gator, 7 minutes start to finish. And one of the things on the show that you had sent over was you have a bracket strategy. Gators appears to be fill it out as quickly as possible.
Well, here's the thing. I've been filling out brackets for a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
The anti-Caputo approach. I've been filling out brackets for a long time. Okay. And stuff. But because you've been doing this for a long time, you've tried different strategies. I've tried the pour over every single game, go back and look at every schedule and common opponents and quadrant one, and what's their net, and this and that, and who's hurt and who's not hurt, and what have they done over the last 10 games, and all. I've done all of that before, and it's all met with the same result.
Meh.
So just save yourself time.
Gator does.
Just go through it. Understand you're going to have to pick an upset or two here. Right?
Yep.
It sounds like because you've never won one, no one else can win one.
No.
Guys, trust me. I've done it.
Here's the thing.
None of them win.
Here's the thing.
They don't work.
I have won them before. And it's been done with, I've actually won more than one. I've done it with a couple different methods. It doesn't seem to matter. It's not like I go into this with no preparation. I actually did quite a bit of research last night looking at the brackets and stuff and watched a lot of the shows and all that on TV. I had an idea of what I was going to do. So when you come in and decide to fill it out, I can just crank on through it.
So you did do research.
I did some, last night, but not all in one time. Like I know this guy across me is doing. And
I'm sure
Doug will tell you who his bracket buster is going to be at 142.
I've just started to really put pen to paper and I've got a long way to go. But yeah, it's to me, it goes final. Like Wednesday at midnight, Gator's bracket was done in 7 minutes. And hey, we all have our approaches. Watch, Gator's better than mine. Just watch, because
or not.
Once the games start, it's amazing how it feels like it's a random bounce of a ball, and the next thing you know, you're playing Loyola of Chicago in the Final Four. Right? I mean, how did that happen? How do these things actually happen? And one huge upset begets another. And the reason, you know, you get into that is because just one upset and suddenly a team that has what feels like no business playing for what they're playing for gets the hugest break ever because somebody else does their heavy lifting. And there you go. And overall, probably the number one story is Michigan State's draw, which doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. And yet, you know, it's funny, we were talking about this as a topic. It's almost unanimous that they got the raw deal, and I don't know what there is to say about it other than it feels like they got a raw deal. And yet, I like their side of the bracket more than Duke's side of the bracket. And Michigan State's side of the bracket, to me, I like what they have setting up for them. Given they lost to Louisville earlier in the year, but they lost at Louisville in a 4-point game, and this Michigan State team, I think, is much more prepared to take on Louisville than they were earlier in the year. I think
LSU, but that team had Langford on it.
It did, but since then, I mean, Tillman's turned into a stud. McQuaid is on fire right now. Cassius Winston, National Player of the Year candidate, put the ball in his hands. I think LSU's a mess and are a prime team to get plucked over. There's two other Big Ten teams that I don't think the Spartans fear in Maryland and Minnesota. I like their side of the bracket. And right now, given sort of where Michigan State basketball is, and you and I have talked about it at great length, it's about getting out of the first weekend. And I love their shot to get out of the first weekend.
I like their shot to get out of the first weekend, and that's fine and all. But here's what I don't like. There are a couple things that really bother me. First thing that bothers me is looking at three of the four number one seeds are from the ACC. Mm-hmm. I hate that. Absolutely hate that. And I seem to remember saying a couple months ago, when the Big Ten was getting a lot of love, I said, watch, by the end of the year, it's going to change. And it sure is not. Sure enough, it happened. It changed. Oh, where is the Big Ten love now? It's nowhere to be seen. It's all about the ACC. It's like the SEC in football. And I get that these teams in the ACC are really good, and they are really good. I don't know if you deserve to get three number one seeds out of the same conference. I don't know how
that
happened.
One giant inconsistency. Obviously, Duke gets the huge benefit of the doubt for Zion's injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems like Carolina gets credit for beating Duke without
Zion. Exactly.
And, you know, you start shooting holes in some other team's resume, and invariably it seems to come back to bite you. And it's a lot of angst about nothing. We can sit here and talk about last year, right? Last year, Michigan State had the dream draw. They got the dream draw and didn't take advantage of it. This year, the number one thing I think that everybody thought was when Zion returned and was playing the way he did, like a man on a mission, was just avoid Duke.
Well, 100%.
And they get Duke.
And I kept saying avoid the state of North Carolina altogether.
Remember our talk on Friday? Talk on Friday was what's more important, winning the Big Ten tournament or avoiding Duke? And it was
avoiding Duke.
And it wasn't even much of a debate. And, you know, that's rough. But if you get Duke in a regional final, it means Michigan State made a deep run.
Well, exactly, and that you can't be too upset about. But here are the two things. So one was the ACC gets three out of the four teams. The other thing is the explanation from Bernard Muir, the athletic director at Stanford, who's the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee chairman. He was asked, what was the seeding process and placement for Michigan State in the East region? His response is what bothers me. So Michigan State was one of about six or seven teams that started off the week in our minds as a collective committee that we thought could eventually get to the one line. At the end of the day, as tournaments were unfolding, we thought Gonzaga deserved to stay on the one line. So hang on a second. Before the week begins, you think State's one of these teams that could get to the one line. They survived the week, survived the weekend, win the Big Ten tournament, knock off Michigan for a third straight time this season. Gonzaga loses to St. Mary's, a team they had beaten by 50 points a month earlier. But nothing changed your mind.
Well, there's no
at the end of the day, Gonzaga still deserves to stay there.
At the end of the day, Gonzaga deserved. It doesn't feel like an explanation. It just feels like, you know, we thought about it, but we didn't do it. And I'd like to hear more as to why they didn't. He offered up the regional
thing. Well, the regional stuff. Okay, great. Hey, thanks. You gave Michigan State Spartan fans a break by putting them in the Washington, D.C. regional final. So it's only a 9-hour drive to get there as opposed to the 10-hour drive to go to Kansas City. Thanks. We appreciate it.
All right. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Ben in Monroe. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Enjoying your show. What I think I'm hearing, maybe Michigan State fans might be a little upset with their seed. I can see that. But what I think I hear underneath that is maybe they don't like the fact or the possibility of facing Duke. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, if I were a Michigan State fan, I think I would really want that chance.
Would you?
And I'm saying that to you because I'm a Big Ten fan. And I'm from Ohio, so you know I root for the Buckeyes. But I like Michigan. I like Michigan State. And I really think if I were a Michigan State fan, I would be, yeah, let me have Duke. Let's go beat Duke.
Well, here's the thing about it is part of what you're saying I agree with, but you want to play Duke as late as possible, and Michigan State got them as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this also feels a little bit like, okay, it's angst, but it's potential angst You never know. Duke could get beat before they get there, and suddenly it looks like the greatest draw ever. Michigan State, get out of the first weekend. Should be priority one. It feels like that is something that you know, worry about that when you take care of priority one. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. Sure, you want Duke. You just want them as late as possible, and they got them as early as possible.
I'll take
them
in the final
four. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a little easier for me because I'm an Ohio State fan. But I would say to all the fans of Michigan State, I'd like, go enjoy the chance to face, and you know, they're the nemesis, so if you get a chance
someday
to face them, I would embrace it.
What's Izzo's record against Duke?
1-11.
Okay, I feel like at some point that dam's going to break. That seems like a tough year to have it break.
This may not be that year. I mean, there have been years in the past where I thought there were more. This Spartan team has gone well beyond my expectations. I never thought they were going to be playing as well as they've played. I mean, there was a stretch where I think they won 18 of 19 games prior to losing those three in a row in the middle of the Big Ten season. They were on fire. And yet they were playing second fiddle to Michigan at the time because Michigan was like undefeated during that stretch. It was really an incredible stretch of basketball here in the state. And when all is said and done, both schools are sitting at the number two line as the 6 and 8 overall seeds. And, you know, it's just the whole selection process is just interesting. How they do it. Okay, Duke's the number one overall. Okay, so one matches up with 8. Nope, not going to happen. They match him up with Michigan State at 6. And why?
Their reasoning was geography.
Right, so if the reasoning's geography, I mean, it's an hour difference between Kansas City and Washington, D.C. I saw somebody, not just one person, I saw several people put this out there, wondering if the committee got Michigan and Michigan State mixed up.
I can't imagine
they did, but yet you would think, okay, both teams from the state of Michigan, both really close to each other within an hour's drive of each other.
It would be beyond pathetic and sad and virtually impossible for that to be the case.
I suppose, but I'm just saying, but would it make more sense if Michigan were the team that was going to play Duke?
Probably. But, hey, man.
Look, it'd be no picnic the other way having to face North Carolina, and I would still be going, oh, great, we one thing I wanted was for Michigan State to avoid the state of North Carolina.
North Carolina's not in that bracket.
I'm sorry, you're right. I'm looking at the wrong one here.
But 248-539-9797, AJ in Sterling Heights. Hi, AJ.
Doug, who's the call screener right now? I just wanted to say all those points that Gator just made, because that makes so much sense. Can we all agree, gentlemen, that the Big Ten tournament championship game is pretty much a scrimmage?
Well, it certainly didn't matter. Despite what the committee chairman said that it would, it didn't.
It's too late in the process. Like, if you think about it, if you're the committee, do you come up with, there's several championship games Sunday afternoon. Do you literally come up with, if this team wins, here's our bracket, and if that team wins, here's our bracket?
Or they said they had like 12 brackets.
It feels like it feels like it was locked in well before that game was played. I mean, remember,
you think you're sitting around a table at 5:30, like, that was a good one. We should put it in.
No, I think it's done well before then. Last year, Michigan won the Big Ten tournament and didn't get Detroit. And there was what you want. This year it was avoid Duke. This year it's get Detroit. And last year Michigan State got Detroit, and this year they got Duke. And it turned out not to be a huge advantage last year, and maybe it won't be a huge disadvantage this year.
And then MSU wins, of course, the Big Ten. And they got 8 teams in from the Big Ten. It's like, good job, MSU. Now you get to go against LeBron James clone. Good luck. See you later.
It's the type of thing, though, where really the smart focus, and if I were a coach, I wouldn't say a word publicly. I might bitch up a storm in the offseason privately. But I think when you start complaining about your seed, and I actually didn't hear much of Izzo doing this, but if you did, the sole focus is Bradley. The sole focus is Bradley. And nothing beyond that. I mean, I made this comment before. It's so much fun and all that, but I almost feel like I would not have my team, I would officially say to them, we're not looking at anything outside of our pod. The whole world is Bradley, and then if they're fortunate to advance, Louisville and Minnesota, and that's it.
Look, the reality is, it doesn't really matter. You're going to have to beat teams to win the national championship. You want to beat the national champion, you better beat some good teams to do it because you can't do it otherwise. And that's fine. What bothered me was the explanation that the committee chair gave for why they did what they did, because it did render yesterday's contest completely useless. And in a for both Michigan and Michigan State that have players that are going through injuries, and if this tournament meant nothing, then why even bother?
Well, I mean, we were kind of suspicious that that was the case anyway.
Exactly. But and you look at it that I don't are Spartan fans more upset that they're facing Duke or more upset because they're a two seed instead of a one seed? Are they more upset because they're ranked behind Tennessee? And then it comes out that if pressed, then the committee chair said something about, well, you know, we look at the whole body of work and, you know, the losses and wins. And yeah, of course, I get that. And State had three awful losses, and you can't erase that. Can't erase the fact you lost Indiana twice and then Illinois as well to boot. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible to have those losses. Yet Indiana was a bubble team, right? Partially.
Number one seed in the NIT.
The number one reason they were a bubble team is because they beat Michigan State twice, but they were a bubble team when all was said and done. And yet, no, they're not going to sit there and look, it's not line by line that they're going to go over this, but, you know, Tennessee's record, I think they had one outstanding win, and then what? You know, not much after that. And then you look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga, they beat Duke. Can't take that away from them. But what else do they do?
Well, they played really for a team in their league. I give them credit. They played Tennessee.
Well, that's fine for a team
North
in their
Carolina,
league. Great.
Washington, Duke, Texas A&M. Gonzaga played a legit non-conference.
And they were 4-3.
They were 4-3 okay. in those games.
Michigan State plays a legit schedule. Before the Big Ten schedule, and then more legit when they play the Big Ten schedule.
You're getting more and more sour as this goes on.
Well, I get bothered by it, but it'll leave my system real quickly because it doesn't. Yeah, absolutely. Because it again, go back to my first statement. This is the one that calms me down and just kind of solidifies things. You have to win big games to win the tournament. Well, I don't expect Michigan State to win the tournament. If they want to get there. Go if you want to complain about having to play Duke in Duke's bracket, then go play Duke in the Duke bracket. Get there. Because if you falter against Louisville in round two, or let's say you struggle in the first round, you can't beat Bradley, then who cares? Then shut up, okay? You want to complain. I guess the reason that you can complain is if you get smoked by Duke in the bracket and you had no business being there. Stop complaining. Because it's not worth it. You're going to have to beat teams.
Well, to answer one of your questions, why do they even play it? Because it makes money, the Big Ten tournament. Because it doesn't matter what seeding, apparently, right? But that's the reason why they play it. And secondly, I understand. Michigan State got screwed. Do I think the complaining and whining is a bit over the top? I do.
I do, too. It's
getting out of control. I mean, they should. You look at the bracket. You said it, Doug. They should go to the Sweet 16. They got the better side, the better part of that bracket. And you're complaining about being in Duke's bracket? If I tell you right now you get to play Duke to see who goes to the Final Four, you should take it. And by the way, you don't get to choose when you play Duke. It's not in the first or second round. You're going to play them at some point, right? If you think Duke is that good and you think you're that good, whether it be the Final Four or the Elite Eight, so what? I think complaining's been way over the top. Like I said, Michigan State got screwed. In my mind, they should have been a one seed, okay? But you're not going to play Duke till the Elite Eight if you're that good. If Duke is that good. Doug, you said if Duke gets knocked off somehow, you're in an awesome bracket all of a sudden.
But nobody talks about a banner for hanging a banner for the Elite Eight. All right. And you said yourself, you think Michigan State should be a number one
seed.
Yeah,
but you know what? At the end of the day, like Doug said, Duke could lose. And by the way, you're going to have to beat Duke or a good team, like you said, Gator, to get at some point to the championship,
eventually you
right?
have to. And when you get to that point, you're like, okay, well, here we are. And so be it. I don't know if the complaining is over the top. I can understand it looking at, would you rather play Virginia matched up against Virginia in an Elite? I know. Would you rather play Virginia matched up in an Elite Eight? Would you rather play Gonzaga matched up in Elite Eight? Would you rather play North Carolina matched up in an Elite Eight? Or would you rather play Duke? Matched up in
but here's
in
the thing
Elite
you don't get to pick who you get to play against.
Well that's the whole point is that they should be they're a six seed, they should face the number three team.
It's all done for the committee, whatever reason they did it, and now Michigan State just has to go out and first things first, Bradley, 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 Bradley. That's where the focus should be. Yep. Otherwise, you get yourself in trouble.
And believe me, it will be.
This is how you get yourself in trouble, is start looking down the road. 248-539-9797. We'll have our Champ and Chump nominations at 10:35. 97 won the ticket.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.